2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. I like when he says, all men have not faith. Because remember in I actually referenced this when we were studying Romans, because it says in Romans, remembering that unto every man is dealt the measure of faith. Every man is dealt a measure of faith. And people actually preach on that everyone has a little faith they could have. But wait a second. Paul is now saying, no. You know, here. Verse 3 of chapter 12, he says, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, there's the key, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Every man in the church is what is implied by the context. That's the way context is important. You can't just say, God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. That means even the deepest, darkest atheist or the criminal who, etc., the most wicked, there's faith present. Now there might be. But God has to give that to them yet. Well, you know, they may be, you know, I don't judge tares ahead of their time. But, because they could be like the Apostle Paul, people who turn, or like me. You know, there was one time in my life when people could have looked at me and said, oh, there's a wicked man. There's a sinful person right there. You just look at me. Staggering in the streets, drunken, on pot, or whatever. Not all men have faith. All men have not faith. Unreasonable and wicked men. And I tell you, the men who teach a gospel contrary to the gospel which I teach have not faith. Those who say you cannot be perfect have not faith. Those who say that you cannot obtain righteousness, or try to say that obtaining righteousness is hypocrisy, or to try to say that obtaining righteousness was a cause for sin, are liars, and they have not faith. They are unreasonable and wicked men. Pray for me that the word of the Lord may have course and be glorified, even as it is with you who hear my voice. Because there are unreasonable and wicked men out there who have no faith, and they put on a mantle, the mantle of a teacher of God's word. They put on the mantle of Jesus Christ, and they say lies. They say, yeah, I'll give you a scripture, and then I'll give you a lie. They say, there's no way to escape the corruption that is in this world. You're going to sin. You just need to, you know, and then they'll give you some remedy for that, right? But Peter says, we are given these exceeding great and precious promises, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Apostle Paul says we are called, the grace of God which leadeth to salvation teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live righteously, soberly, and godly in this present world. Some people would say, well, that's impossible to do in this present world. They have not faith. They have not faith. Jesus Christ said, if you believe not that I am he, you will die in your sins. There are men who say, you know, you're going to probably sin till the day you die. They have not faith. Because that is not the faith which the scripture speaks of. Because you know why? If you sin up to the day you die, then it's manifest. If you die in your sins, you don't believe in Jesus. Because he said, if you don't believe who I am, you're going to die in your sins. So if you do die in your sins, It is a manifest token that you do not believe in Christ. Because if you believed in Christ, you would not die in your sins. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Not in theory. The way these unreasonable and wicked men teach. They teach that it's just you're made free theoretically. So you are free in Christ, but you will still sin. You're free in Christ, but you will still be subject to fleshly lusts. You know, because you're still, as long as you're in the flesh. Of course, Paul said, brethren, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. So we need to get out of the flesh and into the Spirit, even while yet being in the flesh. And don't tell me it isn't possible. When you do, then I know you have not faith. Verse 3, but the Lord is faithful, who establish you and keep you from evil. Do you believe that? That God will keep you from evil? Not just from evil happening to you. Do you think that's really what Paul's talking about? As he's talking about rejoicing in afflictions? And like, it is a, you know, hey, you know, he's which is a, you know, we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God, this is chapter 1, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of his kingdom, for which ye also suffer. Do you really think when he says he's going to keep you from evil, he means you're not going to be persecuted? It says we are not appointed to wrath. That means like the wrath of God. It says we in the book of 1 Thessalonians, he said, in chapter 3, verse 3, talking again about afflictions, he says that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereto.
Well, Paul, you don't understand, you see. The apostles were appointed to be afflicted. I'm not appointed to be afflicted. I'm appointed to fly away. Oh glory, you know, I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. I'm gonna go into, you know, I'm gonna go up and I'm gonna claim my mansion in heaven that Jesus has been, you know, he's been working for 2,000 years. I don't even think that's enough time to make as many houses as he's gonna need. I'm gonna need a really big house. And a really big table for all the food I'm going to have. That's going to be awesome. I wonder if they're going to have like an angel chef.